The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed it. Anyway, you'll find a way. Coming to you live from my unusually clean closet. It's usually not quite as well organized. And, I mean, is it beautifully organized? No. I mean, are these things in order? No. Are they pressed? No. But there's room enough in the floor of the closet that I can sit on a chair, and that's big for me. James, why is your closet so clean? James, why is your closet typically so filthy? I'll tell you why. It's because Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, and it made me feel a little better to clean. Does take a national tragedy to get me to tidy up. It takes a national tragedy and people behaving obscenely in response to it to get me to tidy up the room. Boy, I don't like participating in current events. I leave that to other people. But this is a fairly grim time. The Emmys was on last night. Apparently, no one mentioned it. So it feels wrong not to mention it. You shouldn't execute people who disagree with you. Boy, I hope we can agree on that. Americans won't be seeing this, and Australians will be so steeped in it that they won't know that it's unusual. But I am seeing the Australian media coverage of the Charlie Kirk assassination, and there's just a couple of... Man, we get snide. We get real snide when there's a gun death in America. We love to say, look at that. A man spoke about how he wanted there to be guns, and now he has been killed by a gun. We would never be so silly as to do something like that in Australia, for we have no guns. And I just have no patience for this kind of frippery. America's a very violent country. That's why they have guns. They're a fierce and warlike people. And, when there's not a gun, or when there's a city where they've taken the guns away, there's still a lot of crime. There's actually a lot of crime from guns. The day before, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed. Someone was, a pretty Ukrainian woman was stabbed to death on a train. It's a violent country. Anyway. I didn't want to get into that. I was worried that I would just my condolences to Charlie Kirk's family and Charlie Kirk fans and friends and people who knew him. And it's not good. I wrote down a bunch of cards. I'm fairly sick of this episode. Not this episode. I don't like that the podcasts keep descending to me screaming and shouting and having meltdown in public. So increasingly, wouldn't it be nice to have a little togetherness and professionalism? Look at that. Whoa. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little togetherness and professionalism on the pod? So I wrote down, I have cards. I have cards now, so we can move seamlessly from one thing to the other. And while you're listening to this in the gym or at the dishwashing station, or perhaps while you're cleaning up your closet, that will make it for a more seamless listening experience for you. I have to get rid of some of these clothes. I don't wear very many of these clothes. I mean, in particular, I don't know why I ever bought this, man, this Oprah shirt. I don't fit this Oprah shirt. I am too fat for this Oprah shirt. And even so, I think even if it fit like a glove, it would be remiss of me to wear the Oprah shirt out and about. Same for this jacket. I thought, you know, there was a moment in a Goodwill where I thought, maybe I'll dress like a cool nana. So I have to get rid of them. I tried to get merch made in time for my upcoming shows and didn't. The books won't arrive on time. So I think to this Houston show coming up tomorrow, I will just bring some clothes. And if you want to pay, I don't know what a fair price is for a Oprah shirt that I wore once in the store and thought that will be my aspirational garment. I mean, I don't like that Australia. It's a different. I don't like when we're snide. We're not good at being snide. We have an accent that makes us sound very stupid internationally. And when we try and get prissy and huffy about things, it makes us seem even more stupid. Am I advocating for an entire change in the accent? Yes. And this is what I think we should go with moving forward. It's just, I mean, we're very cosmopolitan people in Australia. And it's all big cities, and there's almost no one out in the bush. There are some people there, but, you know, percentage-wise, it's not a lot. We've got six very overcrowded. Are we counting Hobart as well? We'll count Canberra. 6 to 7. What about the Gold Coast? Is that a separate thing? We've just got big overcrowded cities with university-educated, city-slicker-type people. And, we love to waggle the finger and embrace our bureaucracy. And anyway, I'm sorry. The joy of the notes. To return to the notes. I will try to move some of these clothes disguised as merch at the upcoming show, which is in Houston, September 16. Other upcoming shows include, but are not limited to, I'll also try and get rid of these sunglasses. There was a time where I thought I would wear sunglasses on the podcast and buy a new pair of thrift shop sunglasses every episode, but I haven't managed to keep up with it. I will not be medicating. Houston, September 16, St. Louis, September 19, Omaha, September 20, Springfield, Mo, I think that's short for Missouri, September 25, Indianapolis, September 26, all on jdfmccann.com/gigs. There's a link below, and there are many other shows coming up as well. Oh, here's a nice one. I'm increasingly open to a closed life. Book of poems once a year, otherwise just disappear. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but the poetry flows out of me like blood. Otherwise, I mean, not all tragedies are equal. A man being shot for speaking his mind and trying to convince people of his point of view on university campuses is obviously worse than the season being over for the Crow Boys and Notre Dame. Wow, I was really looking forward to college football filling the void after the Crow Boys went out in straight sets, but Notre Dame, slippy hands. Can't get that conversion. Thank you to everybody filling up the DMs, letting me know that the Crows and Notre Dame have buggered their seasons, respectively. I had noticed. But thank you. Thank you for getting into the DMs to tell me about that. It is a good reminder not to check the DMs. And also, you know, a good reminder of how blessed I am. I don't think I've ever hopped in the DMs and made fun of someone for how their football team is doing. So I reckon I'm doing better than you in other aspects of my life. I don't want to be huffy and prissy about it in my Australian voice. But, you know, glad that I could be a salve for you in what is, I'm sure, an otherwise difficult time. I'm listening to a lot of Ethiopian jazz and funk. Lots and lots of Ethiopian jazz and funk. Sorry, Thai rock and roll. Ethiopian jazz is my favorite genre of world music now. I played chess against George St. Pierre this week. I'm not really a crossfighter. I've gone back and watched some of his fights subsequent to that. What a gentleman. What a scholar. Georges St-Pierre, I liked him. Great guy. We exchanged small leads throughout, but eventually I really, you know, it was down to three pawns on me, and he had three pawns, but they weren't connected. They were further down the board, and we each had a knight. His king was more engaged, but I had a, I think, winning position. And everyone in the green room stopped to watch as we were playing. This was happening in the green room at the Comedy Mothership, and then I took with the pawn instead of the knight. I got a little greedy and thought I'd have a run home, and I didn't. So it was a draw. Proud to have a draw with Georges St-Pierre. I'm currently playing at around 1,200 to 1,600, depending on if I've been drinking. And boy, I'd like to improve the chess. Will I? You can get stuck in playing blitz chess on your phone rather than improving the fundamentals and working on, you know, opening and end game and mid game and all the man. It's hot in the closet. I can see why so many people want to get out of it. I've been thinking about the seal of approval. The James Donovan. Here's how I think you can make money. This is what Oprah did. Rather than make something. Obviously, Oprah was making something. But a big part of the Oprah brand was that she would put it in the book club. She'd give it the seal of approval. And she was, oh, it was a big thing to get the Oprah seal of approval. And I think we've lost that as the gatekeepers have disappeared, haven't we? I think we have. So maybe that's something that I could, maybe that's something, maybe that's, oh, I mean, you're thinking, what would, I'd like to listen to something, I'd like to eat something, I'd like to go somewhere, if only there was a reliable seal of approval. So introducing, and I'll work on this at a later time, I'm sure, but the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan Seal of Approval. And see, there, if I have seals of approval, I just have to enjoy something and give it a seal. I don't actually have to make something on my own. It's easy. It helps other people. Sounds cool. It could be a seal. Like it could be the animal a seal. They could put a seal on their product. Franny and Zooey. That's got the James Donald Forbes McCann seal of approval. I read that. That's probably the best book I read this year. Yes, I'm a teenage girl. Yes, I'm a precocious high school woman. Girl. I loved Franny and Zooey. I don't know if maybe it's Zoe. I've been saying Zooey. That's got the seal of approval. They don't have to be new things. They don't even have to be things. It's my seal. I'll approve what I want. Swimming. Swimming has the seal of the act of swimming, going for a swim. That's got the seal of approval. If ever I find a pair of socks I really enjoy, that'll be getting the seal of approval. I don't think I've ever had a pair of faultless socks where I go, yeah, that does just what I need. Gee, I hope I don't have to get into the sock manufacturing game. I think that'd be more trouble than just finding out about the socks, if you know some. I have a big man's foot. I don't like it being too pressurized around the ankle, but I also don't like it falling down. You know, I like there to be, I don't like that seam. I like when there's a seam on the top and it presses into the toes. I don't like that. I don't like them to be itchy. I don't like them to change very much over time. I don't like getting a hole in them. If there are socks, please find a way. If that would get the seal. The Blondie Way obviously gets the seal. Faux Real, get the seal. Kieran J. Callanan, Alex Cameron, that whole crew. Guess what? You've got the seal. Feel free to use the seal. Birkenstock shoes. Oh, you better believe they've got the seal. New Polity magazine. You've got a seal. I'm thinking about starting a news media empire. I don't have the skills. I don't have the capital. I don't have the inclination. But I'm thinking about it. Shout out to this week's listeners in a special country, South Africa. South Africa currently leading the charge for most listeners in a country where people have warned me not to go. So congratulations, South Africa. Of all the countries that people have warned me not to go, you are, I mean, apart from the United States, you are the country in which I am most popular. So shout out to six people in Cape Town, 2 people in Johannesburg, 2 people in Pretoria, 1 person in Centurion, and 1 person in Durban. Och, please, Daddy, won't you take me to the funfair? Take me down to Durban. 12 people in South Africa. Is that enough for me to come and do a show against other people's urgings in South Africa? No, it's not. But if you work hard, people of South Africa, I'm sure something can be achieved. Who wouldn't want to see a man fumble his way forward in a hot closet? We have 2 listeners in Iraq and 2 listeners in Israel. Those are the next 2 countries in the leaderboard of places that people have warned me not to go. 1 listener in Afghanistan and 1 listener in Palestine. Excuse me, bumping the camera. Very happy to come and do a show. Hello to our Gaza listener. Hope you're doing all right. I know you've probably got other stuff going on than telling people about this podcast. But I just want all those places to know 12 is currently the number to beat. And probably, realistically, 50 is the number to get to for me to come there. I don't know how I would get into Gaza. I think people keep trying and getting arrested. But I can honestly say I will give it a crack should you lead the tables. Finished a screenplay this week. It's called The Clown Joke. I have to edit it because I've since found out there are sort of industry regulations about depicting a certain act of despair. I'm told even if you say the name of this act, that's bad for you, but I'm sure we can all put it together on our end as to what that act might be that's repeatedly depicted in The Clown Joke. I've rewritten that sort of carefully. The word learnings, I don't like it. I do not like the word learnings. We have the word lesson. That's it. That's all of the yes. Return once again to Charlie Kirk, Shot and Killed. I didn't watch a lot of Charlie Kirk just because I think he started to have his blow up after I had kids, and I basically... Children, Brenda, you sort of, you know, you've got to give some things up, and I gave up paying attention to affairs of state. I mean, I'll be talking about it on stage. I don't want to talk about it now. But gee, feels like people should talk about it, and it's fairly grisly. All right. Well, that didn't work. Podcast is only 17 minutes in. I thought if I sat down and I made notes, the podcast would be longer because we'd like it to be a half hour. And that what we bought 17. Anyway. You want to see some other things in the closet? You want to see some other clothes that I'm going to be hawking? I'm keeping the fur coat. I love the fur coat. I don't care if it's never appropriate to wear a faux fur coat in Austin. I'm keeping it. I mean, what else are we getting rid of? I'll keep the Notre Dame shirt. You see that? It's a Notre Dame shirt. I mean, there's just a lot. There's so many pants I don't fit into. I mean, these Wranglers. I went to wear these Wranglers one night for a show, and I came out of the room, and my wife said, "Oh, no." And I said, "Baby, what's wrong?" She said, "I can see everything." I said, "Yeah, isn't that funny?" And she said, "That's for me. That's not for other people. That should just be for me." Talking about my genital, of course. Bought a Dewey Reams Bible this week.
Sakura,
I mean, what would actually be involved in making a news empire? I've heard nice things about Cape Town. I've heard fewer nice things about Johannesburg. I think I'm ready to chop off all of my hair. Joseph Green.
Howdy.
With us for at least 10 minutes before I drop him off. How long have you been in America for this time around?
5 days.
You've seen Portland?
I've seen Portland. I've seen Los Angeles. I've seen Austin, Texas.
But you've been to America before?
I have. I lived here once upon a time.
How long?
3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is all so old hat to you.
No, it's not. I lived in New York for 3 years, and New York feels like not America compared to the rest of America.
America's got 3 cities.
Yeah.
New York.
Uh-huh.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Everything else is Cleveland. It's an old, beautiful, I forget whose joke that is.
What a classic.
It's a zinger. But
where are we in that triad? Which
no, Austin is.
Austin's New York.
Austin's Cleveland.
Austin's Cleveland.
Of course, Austin is Cleveland.
Wow, LeBron.
But I like Cleveland.
I love Cleveland.
Hold on. Let me get a little more in shot.
You're leaning back on your chair to get in shot.
Maybe I'm getting out of shot. I'm getting a little more relaxed.
Yeah, you got to lean in.
You've had a night on the town.
Yeah.
Takeaways from the Austin comedy scene so far.
Wow, it's rowdy. Cool place. Hey? I've been here for like 2 minutes. The
Velveta Room. You came to Powerbomb on Mondays at the Velveta Room, the show that I'm running with
great
Sweet
place.
Eve Ellen Bogan.
Well run. Well done, James. And then, but my induction.
They're great guys.
They seem it.
They're great guys. There is a sort of a gay, I think, Egyptian man there who's always touching, and I love him.
Yeah, I kissed his hand when I met him.
Oh, he would have loved that. You've got to be careful.
The feeling was mutual.
He'll kiss you right back.
And he didn't, but maybe he's just laying the foundations for what could, ensue.
I believe.
The first I got here last night. I saw Louis C.K.
Get out! I didn't get to go. I wanted to go and see Louis. I didn't manage.
Person
it.
I saw in Austin.
How was he?
He was Louis C.K. He was great.
Did you see him backstage? You saw him on stage.
No, I saw him on stage.
Okay, so yeah. The dick remained.
The dick remained intact.
Intact and inside.
He did announce he would sign penises if they were presented to him.
I mean, a legend.
Yeah,
a legend and a star, and by all accounts, a good man who's helped many good people and his impact on the comedy scene.
By all accounts?
Well.
Many accounts, for sure, but maybe.
I would say outside of the New York Times.
Sure,
the accounts,
of course.
I've read are uniformly positive.
That's great.
But I never got to meet him. I haven't got to meet him.
Really?
And the other one is Bill Burr. And I would so love to meet Billy Burr.
Of course.
But I got to meet Dave Chappelle.
That would have been fun.
Oh, it was great.
You did a podcast with Dave Chappelle.
I was scared.
It actually became just you and him. Oh, the lights have just gone out.
Yeah, it's good.
That creates a new mise-en-scene to follow up from under the bridge.
Turn off, and turn on. Yeah, if the battery expires, then I crash here. And we're off to Houston tomorrow.
That's exciting.
And I think we'll do a Houston pod.
How far is that?
It's about 2.5 hours. We'll go to a Bucky's on the way.
That's nice.
Oh, it's going to be so nice. I tell you, I'm flat as a tack.
What do you mean?
It's been too much for too long.
You've what?
I'm a burnt. I'm a husk. I'll be ready tomorrow for the gig.
I feel tired too. If that's what you're saying.
Well, we're just emceeing that show, and then we went to the Mothership, and you got to see the Mothership.
Yeah, the Mothership. Wow, iconic place.
Apparently, Louis C.K. helped design some of the dimensions for that. They had him walk around the original.
Yeah, the myth that was confirmed to me by Ari and maybe you as well is that Louis walked in there, said the roof was too high.
He said, lower that ceiling.
And he put a new floor and lowered the ceiling as well.
You got to have a low ceiling. You got to. Comedy requires certain things.
Yeah,
this is why.
I only watched it from up top, well, I mean, so it's hard to get a sense.
It seems pretty high on the up section.
Yeah.
But this is why you wanted them in darkness, and this is why at the Comedy Store and also at the Mothership, when they have the open mics to see if people are allowed to come back on a Monday,
mm-hmm.
the opening section of the show where people do 3 minutes, they keep the lights on in the audience so that they have to work harder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they want to know if people have really got it. Because if you've really, really got it, you'll get something.
You can crush them in the light.
Yeah, but The light, I remember I once did a show in Perth and they left the lights on. And then once they turned the lights off, it was great. But I remember this.
That's where we met in Perth.
It's devastating 8 minutes. We had a beautiful day together in Perth.
Yeah.
I remember drinking a lot of water. Did we vote? Was it a voting day?
Did we vote that day?
I think it might have been an election.
We walked through Fremantle together.
And we were both, were we doing Johnny's shows? What was happening?
Yeah, doing some shitty open mics and Johnny's shows before, which is the Comedy Lounge, before it existed as a physical space.
Oh, yes,
space.
When it was a hodgepodge.
Yeah, where it was sort of like a transient
I'd forgotten that that's where we met. We had a beautiful time on Perth public transport.
Yeah.
And you were in Melbourne. I was in exile of Melbourne at that time.
Yeah, yeah, you described it to me in detail that day.
I try and be more discreet now, but I'd gotten.
No, I appreciated you confiding in me at that time.
I got my ass right out of that city. It is interesting with the comedy, and I guess with this could be applied to other people's. You know, mm-hmm. Maybe you're a musician, maybe you make shoes, maybe you're whatever accountant. I find being in a city and a scene in a certain place at a certain time mm-hmm. is very important. That you can really have your light under a bushel if you're in the wrong place, if you're really trying to it's incredible. Even within Australia, people who, you know, the Sydney people, it's not quite working out, they go to Melbourne and they have a big pop, and vice versa.
Yeah.
This happens all the time. Very few people have come to Adelaide to pop, but
I think this applies in a lot of industries
where
it's like people who are coming and or going.
I find that to be, there's nothing like scarcity.
Yeah, something weirdly psychological. There was, you know, I used to work in the modeling profession, James McCann.
Show yourself off.
And there was this guy, there was this hairdresser / stylist I met in Melbourne, and I lived in New York doing a little bit of modeling.
Yes, I'm sorry, someone's taking the bins out.
That's, of course. Hi. It's their God-given right. It's bin night here.
Hello.
Tuesday morning.
Hi, I'm just dropping off my friend, but we were just doing a podcast in the car. If that's all right, are we being too loud?
No.
Oh, thank you. I apologize. I know this is unusual. This is crazy behavior.
It'd be great if we could have a James McCann fan come.
It's called the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Perfect. Plan. It's an okay podcast. It's my... No, it's not big and successful. But, you know, we're getting there. Anyway, God bless you. Sorry.
We are getting there. You're getting there. Big time. Talking to the people.
Look, big things are happening.
Damn.
One new listener at a time. If she looks up the podcast, she'll see me on the highway screaming into traffic.
Wow. Coming at you live.
It was important, I felt, to do one that wasn't in traffic. I don't want to just have to do them in traffic every week. The feedback on the podcast in traffic episode was strong, but I'm not... you know, we're white, we're polite, we were dignified.
She's a fan, I feel, already. She's coming back. It might be another bin, but she's coming back.
Well, what? Anyway, I need to have this get to 10 minutes so that the podcast overall can be a half hour.
Oh, I should finish that story.
Oh, yes,
otherwise,
please.
It seems like I just brought up modeling for the just to bring it
I'd
up.
I'd assume that's what you had done.
No, it wasn't. It genuinely was.
In this driveway here?
Oh, shit.
Oh. Of course, yeah. That's all right. Oh, no, I won't do that to you. You don't want to be on the podcast? You don't have to.
What is it about?
It's about a few years ago, I was a poor person in Adelaide, and I was trying to buy a boat, and the podcast has gone quite well, and I've gotten to come here and do comedy here. We're stand-up comedians, and so it's about still trying to earn $500,000 with a podcast to buy a boat. It's going all right. I'm dropping my friend off. He's in that house. He's staying up the back of that one. Oh, yeah. The sorry, it's not a great name.
It's a great name.
It's the James. Well, it's not easy to search. The James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan.
That seems like a good name.
It's a great name.
Well, I appreciate it. You too. God bless. I love America.
What a sweet lady. Hard to tell in the dark, but...
She seems sweet. She was very good about that.
Yeah, she was. She was.
I mean, if two punk kids showed up in my driveway doing a podcast, I'd blah, blah, we don't call 911.
Bippity boppity.
Blah, blah. Sorry, you were a model?
Ah, damn. But the point of the story is there's this stylist could get no work in Australia.
Yes.
Zero work. But he'd done one shoot with this model who was a big model in America, but from Dandenong.
Yeah.
Androgynous person. And he came, visited New York, and I said, hey, the fact that you've worked one time with that guy in Dandenong, which is an outer suburb in Melbourne, Australia, people love this guy in America, so they'll love that.
Yeah.
So he came to America, he showed some people, I've worked with this guy. They're like, that's amazing, you must be big time in Australia. So they put him on jobs in America. But then when he went back to Australia, he'd had no work there previously.
But all of a sudden?
All of a sudden, bah, he's like running the Melbourne Fashion Fest.
You got to go away to come back.
Exactly.
And this is the James. By the way, the Dandenong, it's fine. The Dandenong Rangers, it must be said. And people just look up Olinda, everybody.
Beautiful
check
place.
Check out Olinda. Olinda really stayed with me if I was going to go back to Melbourne ever.
Wow, when were you in Olinda?
I would do day trips. I would just drive out to Dandenong Rangers and drive around Olinda. But I was in Kew in Melbourne.
You lived in Kew?
I adore Kew.
Oh, you adore it.
I adore Kew. The Adelaide of Melbourne.
What inspired so much affection for the suburb of Kew?
The hills.
The hills of Kew?
Well, it's one of the places you can be close to the city and you can get up on... There's a little topography in Kew.
That is true. In near the Yarra Bend, is that where you are?
Yeah. Well, that's sort of, that's, yes, because during COVID we were locked in there and we would walk up Gladstone Street.
You were in Melbourne in COVID?
Well, yes, until the second big lockdown. And then Dan Andrews was going, it's 6 weeks, we're going to lock down. And in South Australia, where we're from, and I still had a driver's license because I hadn't bothered to update it, they said it's 2 weeks for people in, you know, when you come from interstate, it's 2 weeks. So I thought, good golly gosh, we'll go the 2 weeks. We'll have 4 weeks in the sun. And we loaded our family into the car and we just drove all night. My wife was pregnant with our second child at that time. And
How pregnant was she?
Quite. We had to leave the doctor who was going to deliver the next child. We'd done all the meetings. Vaginal Lionel.
Yeah.
He's good at VBAX. He's a Rhodesian.
South African man.
Yeah, and I remember, well, that's a Rhodesia. That gets very pernickety. But, excuse me. But the man, it was Black Lives Matter.
And Mid-2020, yes.
Yeah, we had a good conversation about that. But he did not end up delivering our child. But if you could find Vaginal Lionel, I'm told he's the very best. He'll do Breach.
Wow.
He'll do Breach.
The second baby was born in Adelaide?
Second or third. Now, where are you going now? What are you going to do?
What am I doing? I've been in Portland, and now I'm going to Houston with you.
Yes.
And then I'll be in LA for a bit. I'm doing a 3-day workshop with a guy called Dr. Brown.
Phil?
Yeah, Phil Burgess.
Did you ever hang out with Phil?
No.
Phil was going to be in a musical of mine at one point.
Really?
Yeah, he was going to be a stand-in.
That's so fun. That's a bit of fun.
I didn't know he was doing a workshop. Where's the workshop? In LA?
It's in LA.
Tell him I love him. He may not remember me. That was one of the most important creative... it would have been 14 years ago.
Is that where you met your now wife?
Well, that was about 8 years ago at a different festival, but I remember he came to Adelaide.
Ah.
He was doing the Fringe in the Old Tuxedo Cat. It was it might have been 14, 15 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I saw his first Dr. Brown show in Australia.
Wow, that was quite successful.
A second time and a third time. I must have seen it 6 times.
Really?
I don't know how many times I went. I was so infatuated. And he was so funny. He's really got it.
He's amazing artist.
And it must be said afterwards, however, that there were many, and we'll just have this bit in darkness, who cares? But so many people in response to that show went and did the Gollier route.
Yeah, well, that's why I left my last job. To go to clown school.
Oh, you were a Gollierian?
Yeah, yeah.
How was Gollier?
Well, I went, I was working...
Gollier, by the way, is the leading French clown instructor.
So, yeah, who's now stopped teaching, in fact.
Non.
Yes.
Ah.
But I was working, as I told you before, at the Supreme Court, working on this Mushroom Lady trial. And 6 months into the trial, or
we'll get a little more light. We'll get a little more light up in here.
So it... I don't know if you knew this about me. It took me 18 years to finish a law degree.
Many such cases. You and Amos Gill both.
Too many years to finish, but I finished it, and then I got a job at the Supreme Court, which I didn't think I'd get. I just applied because you have to apply to keep your Centrelink, to keep your, what do they call
it? That's crazy. Yeah, your dole money.
Your dole money.
They would call it welfare.
Welfare, you have to apply for jobs. So I applied for jobs I didn't think I would get, and then I got it, and then had to...
You worked the mushroom, Lady Case.
Well, then I quit, though, and said, I'm going to go to clown school. I've had enough. I've worked on 7 murder trials. It's too much. I got to get back into comedy.
Did he hit the gong for you?
Huh?
Did you get gonged by Goliath? I'm told you stand there and try and be funny and he hits a gong.
I didn't even get into Goliath.
What?
A school that will accept anyone. It's complicated. It didn't line up. There was another school in Europe called Spy Monkey. A great teacher, Aitor, and many clowns were like, well, Goliath's not teaching. Go with this other guy. So then I went with Spy Monkey, Aitor, and also in that neck of the woods. But spent a month there and then came back.
Can I tell you my favorite Goliath story?
Sure, please.
There's a woman who was training with him to be a clown.
Uh-huh.
And he would say to her, you are not fuckable.
Wow.
He'd hit the gong. He hits a gong when you're not being funny.
Yeah.
Hit the gong, he'd go, you're not fuckable. You bang. And next day, you're not fuckable. And on graduation day, he went up to her and quietly said, let me tell you something. You are extremely fuckable. Tell the people where they can find you and what you've got going on.
Thank you, James. What have I got going on? You can find me at Mr. Joseph Green on all social media platforms. And if you're in Australia, I'll be doing a show, Mushroom Lady and Me, next year. About working
Is
on
that really what it's called?
Yeah.